Will you marry me? This is the question that Jesus asks the woman at the well today. Jesus sits by Jacob's well and speaks with a woman. And the last time that Scripture shows a man talking to a woman at the well is Moses talking to his future wife at the well. Before that is Jacob talking to his future wife by a well. And before that is Abraham's servant who goes to the well to look for a wife for Isaac. When Scripture shows a man talking to a woman at a well, you can usually expect a wedding to follow, which is why the disciples are amazed that Jesus is talking to a woman by a well. And the Samaritan woman doesn't realize it at first, but Jesus is expecting something very much like a wedding. Now, a Samaritan is basically half pagan, half Jewish. And this woman is also a serious sinner, an adulterer, who goes to draw water in the heat of the day to avoid running into the people who go when it's a bit cooler out. But none of that stops Jesus from seeking her. And none of your sins stop Jesus Christ from seeking you out. Give me a drink. She thinks that Jesus wants water, but he doesn't. He wants her soul. Mother Teresa often told us that Jesus is not thirsty for mere H2O, but for the souls of his people. But like so many of us, the Samaritan's first response is surprise. Surprise that Jesus would cross the boundary of shame and division to talk to her, to someone so unworthy. But she does respond. She speaks back to him, looks at him, she pays attention, and Jesus seizes the opportunity. And no matter your sins, no matter your shame, no matter how angry you are with God, if you will at least talk to him, he can work with that. He would have given you living water, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus does not start with her with the commandments. He does not start with her adultery or with the division between Jew and Samaritan. He simply makes his offer, appeals to her desire to have a drink, uses that desire as a sign and a symbol of something much deeper. And perhaps if you see God as just a rule keeper, you may have missed this step, this offer. You may have this whole thing of faith upside down. Sir, give me this water. She misunderstands, but she is willing to ask him, which is the opening that Jesus is looking for. Even if and when we ask God for the wrong thing, he will rejoice that we thought to ask him and not another. If your own children were to ask their friends for something dangerous, they might actually get it. But when they ask you, you know that they trust you enough to ask. And there is a hope that they will trust you enough, that they will respond to your guidance to give them what they really need, even if it's not quite what they asked for, or what they thought they wanted. And then the conversation goes to the place most of us go to right away. She has asked Jesus for water, and he wants to give it to her, but there is an obstacle, and he has to address it. Go call your husband. He wants her whole life, not just this moment and a few words. And he isn't trying to trap her or to shame her. He could have said, "You adulterer, stop living in sin and I can give my water to you." No, he invites her to bring the truth to light, even if it's only a small part. "I have no husband." That is enough for Jesus to draw the rest of her guilt out into his healing light. "You have had 5 husbands. Like most people, when her sin is stated clearly, she changes the subject. So often we pretend to have a problem with the church's teaching on this or that, but really we want to focus on some abstract fight because it calls attention away from our real concern. And Jesus Christ would so often avoid or redirect a challenge to doctrine. When someone would try to zero in on some theological nuance, he would often sidestep it and cut to the heart of the matter. But this time, he does answer her objection. Without losing sight of the real goal, Jesus Christ is careful to affirm the truth. Salvation is from the Jews, and the Jews do understand what they worship. And for the second time in this conversation, he uses that accusatory you. You people do not understand. But Jesus wants her soul, wants her to know him as a savior. But he knows that accepting the truth about Judaism, about Samaritanism, is a part of that. And even while he sets her straight, he never loses sight of that goal, because the fact is that that debate is a matter of the past, and that both Jew and Samaritan need to accept the larger truth that stands before them now. I know that the Messiah is coming. There it is, the real thirst, looking to the future. Jesus had to draw it out of her, confront her sins, correct her errors, all in order to lead her past these blinders to the real question that all human beings have. When and where will God lead his people? When will he save them? Who is the Messiah? I am he. And in the Greek, he even says it in a strange way, so that it says the words, I am, like the divine name that God gives to Moses. And all at once, this woman realizes what has happened. She lets go of her objections and accepts Jesus' word. Flinging aside her shame and disregarding her past, she runs into town to proclaim to her neighbors that this man, this prophet, this reader of souls, is the Messiah that we are all waiting for. And such reckless abandon, such lack of concern for her reputation, is enough for the town to come and to see. And they come, they see, they hear, and they believe that this is truly the Savior of the world. And what does he save the world from? From sin and death and falsehood. Will you marry me? This is what God asked of his humanity in his old covenant. This is what Jesus wants from the church, which is meant to include all of humanity. It is the question he asks every soul. And he starts by coming to you, by wanting to spend time with you. He offers you something that you want. And he encourages you to ask him for what it is you desire. And when you ask, when you try to draw close, it is your own heart that gets in the way. Because sin is not an obstacle for God, but for you and for me. Yes, we do need to repent in order to accept the gift of living water, of baptism, of grace, of salvation. And it may seem sudden at times, but Jesus will make us face our sins, not to condemn us, but to invite us to set them aside so that we can drink of everlasting life. But we are arrogant creatures. We do not want to admit that we have been wrong about something the whole time. Just because the Samaritan woman believed something at first and when she was a child doesn't make it right. It is not her fault that she is born into the wrong religion, but the religion is still wrong. And Jesus knows that. So he corrects her, but only in order to draw her forward, to reach in to where there was truth hidden in the error and bring it to light, so that she can worship in spirit and in truth. We need to free our spirits from sin and our minds from falsehood to do this. How hard was it for that woman to stop her adultery, to admit that she was wrong? It doesn't matter. It was, it is worth it if that's what it takes to drink the living water, if that's what it takes to receive God Himself. So open your eyes and do not think of just some kind of moral checklist as your faith, but let Jesus Christ ask you the big question. Let Him include you ever more fully in the church, the bride of Christ whom He wants to marry. And then spread the gospel, because the harvest is ripe. And do not do it just by condemning the world's sins, but by pursuing the people lost in the world. We should be glad when someone asks us for something. We should want to spend the time with them to give them the chance to ask, even if what they want is not quite right. Because then we can begin to offer them something they didn't realize they wanted. We can show them the repentance. We can show them the truth. We can begin to reap this harvest with the right tools. But most of all, we want to show them the Messiah, the Savior of the world.